My name is John Erling. Today's date is November 30th, 2011. Frosty, state your full name, please.
Forrest J. Troy, T-R-O-Y. And my grandfather nicknamed me Frosty.
Why did he choose Frosty?
I have no earthly idea. I asked my mother that, and she said, I don't know why. Her dad, Grandpa Hopkins, started calling me Frosty. So when I was in the second grade, I asked my mother, I said, why did you name me Forrest? Nobody at school is named Forrest. And she said, oh, honey, that was my high school sweetheart. And I said, I don't believe that. Dad's name was Leo. And said, oh, you were number 6 out of 11. There was no jealousy left.
Your date of birth and your present age.
Right now I'm 78 June the 13th, 1933.
And where are we recording this interview?
This was the headquarters of the Oklahoma Observer, but I sold it nearly 3 years ago, and they moved it to Edmond. But I kept the office here because I have to have some place to go.
Where were you born?
Born in McAllister, Oklahoma, third generation by way of Tipperary, Ireland.
What was your mother's name, maiden name, where she grew up?
Ruth Hopkins. And believe it or not, she grew up on a farm in western Oklahoma. And they moved to McAllister because her dad couldn't make a living at farming during the Dust Bowl. And so he went to work for the prison, state penitentiary is at McAllister.
What was your mother like, her personality?
Oh, my Lord, she was short of just under 5 foot tall, and she was an amazing, humorous, she never had a bad day, and she buried sons, and she'd go to the funeral, and then afterwards she'd fix a big meal, and she always talked at the wakes, and she was hilarious. And by the way, within a month of having a baby, she would get her figure back. It's just the most amazing thing. My dad ended up owning a dry cleaners in McAllister, 90s Choctaw. One time, mother was there, and I happened to be in the dry cleaners, and she said, well, walk me home. At that time, there were telephone operators, and they were changing shifts, and the Marines, that was the Naval Ammunition Depot then, and lots of Marines out there. We took off across the corner just as the break came for the telephone operators, and of course 4 or 5 Marines were sitting there waiting for the girls, and about that time, mother got a wolf whistle, and she just perked up and shook her fanny across the street. She was hilarious, and Dad was a sourpuss.
What was his name?
James Leo Troy. Now, take that in the best sense of the word. He had a terrific job supporting the family, and he wanted all of us to get an education, and there was no quitting school. And he just worked and worked, and we had dinner at 6. We called it supper then. Boy, he would come in, and he would just look so fatigued. And this was 6 days a week.
But he came in from what? What was he doing?
The dry cleaners. And by the way, you should have seen what he could do with an automatic sewing machine. He did all the alterations. He did everything. He ran the dry cleaners. He had a black guy in the back doing the tumblers and so on and so forth. But he was a work of art. And he was, in his way, he was kind of witty. The businessmen started at the White House Cafe, which was across the alley from the dry cleaners. And the Augie Henry, who was the head of the First Baptist Church in McAllister at that time, he made some smart remark about Catholics, and Dad, being a cradle Catholic, said, you know, stand up. I've always wanted to knock the hell out of a Baptist preacher. And boy, Augie Henry hit the door.
you referred to your mother's height. Was your father a tall?
No, he was about 5'10", 5'11", and he had one son who was tall. That was my brother Kevin. Most of us were average height.
So did he come from the Muskogee area then? I mean, the McAllister area?
Yeah, yes. Now, you think this is crazy. By way of Michigan, his grandfather was Associate Dean of Medicine at the University of Michigan. The two of his sisters were Benedictine nuns, and they had been dispatched to the Twin Territories, in fact, as Atoka IT, Indian Territory. They telegraphed him that they were having terrible trouble, and people were making fun of him. Can you imagine little nuns running around in cowboy country? So he told Rose, his wife, he said, sell the house, ship everything you want to by rail, and I'm going to Indian Territory to check on my sisters. And when he got to Atoka IT, he surveyed the situation. But the railroad tracks crossed at what was to become McAllister. So he moved the nuns up to McAllister, and they were in the convent at Krebs.
Did you know any of your grandparents? Did you meet any of them?
Yeah, Grandfather Hopkins, I know, and I lived for 2 years. I was a very sickly child. I lived with 2 years with Rose Troy, Grandmother Troy. She was a work of art. She had a library. Oh, my Lord. All the great books of the Western world, and I read them all because I lived with her for 2 years, and there wasn't anything else to do except I helped her with her strawberry patch and mowed the lawn, and that was a push mower.
Why did you go to live with her?
Believe it or not, we lived on North Main in a big old ramshackle house, and my little brother Jerry, we had a cow named Bessie. The hay was stacked up against the back porch, and my brother Jerry, playing with matches, set it on fire. And so we scattered out. We went to different places. Aunt Kate took some of the kids and blah, blah, blah. And we were scattered out for about 6 or 8 months until Dad found a home at 618 East Wyandotte in McAllister. It was really crampy for that many kids. Of course, my brother David hadn't been born yet, or my sister Mary Ruth, but wow. So he said about in his spare time, he didn't have any spare time, building a sleeping porch. And we slept two to a bed, and I slept with my brother Johnny.
So then your brothers and sisters, you had one. How many brothers and sisters did you
have? Well, altogether, mother had 11 children, but twins died at birth. There were 8 boys and 1 girl.
So then the first house you remember, is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, 618 East Wyandotte. I remember that very well. In fact, I couldn't wait to be 12 years old because I could join the Boy Scouts, because my older brothers were Eagle Scouts and all and Camp Tom Hale down at Wilburton. Oh, well, that was the place to be. I made it. But I'll break your heart. It broke mine. I mobilized with the 45th Division in 1950. I had 20 merit badges. You needed 21 to be an Eagle. And when I came home, I went to see Bill Edwards, Edwards Bookstore. He was the scoutmaster and handled all the scouts. And I said, I want to work on getting my Eagle. And he said, they've changed the rules, Frosty. You can't. You're kidding. If you were over 18, you could no longer be an Eagle Scout. And it just crushed me. Boy, I was dazed getting over that. But you don't get over it. You just get past it. So I was the only one of the Troy boys, the older brothers, that didn't make Eagle.
Where were you in the birth order?
I was number 6.
So, Mr. In Between, then, you
were... Yeah, no one knew my name, even the nuns. I went to St. John's School, a little bitty Catholic school in McAllister, and a little bitty church, and most of the students were from Krebs. Of course, you know, the Italians, but very Catholic, from Sicily. They'd been brought over to work the carbon mines. The nuns would call me Frosty, Bernard. I got a call once at the Tulsa Tribune, the Republican Tulsa Tribune, and Margaret said, "Line two, Frosty." And I got on the phone, and I said, "This is Frosty. Bernard, I wanted to ask you a question." And I said, "Mother, this is Frosty." And she said, "You know who I meant."